This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Amos Lee's third album is out. It's called Last Days at the Lodge, and it's already on the Billboard 200. Mr. Lee was a school teacher in Philadelphia before pursuing a full-time career in music. He received a big assist from Norah Jones, who just heard his music and liked it, and began to tour as the opening act for the likes of Bob Dylan, Merle Haggard, and Paul Simon. This new release seems to emphasize his grounding in folk and soul. Let's listen to a bit from the CD. This song is Truth.
Now they got me here at the ballroom, walking slow and acting strong. Well, I said, my friend, I'll give you one last chance to admit that you done me wrong. You better tell me the truth, son. Yeah.
People magazine has written that Amos Lee has, quote, perfected the art of rootsy, rainy day music, soaking in blues, folk, country, and gospel, as well as some Bill Withers-style R&B. Amos Lee joins us in Studio 4A with his guitar. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I have to ask you about this all-star lineup that you have here. Doyle Bramhill Jr., who known for playing with Eric Clapton. Spooner Oldham is on the keyboards. He plays with Neil Young and Aretha Franklin. Pino Palladino playing the bass. He's with The Who. And then James Gadson with Bill Withers on the drums. How did you enlist all this company of talents?
All those guys are just people I met sort of along the way, except for Doyle. I'd seen Doyle play in Los Angeles while I was staying out there before I'd made the record, and he really knocked me out with the way he played and the way he sang. Spooner I met at Willie Nelson's birthday party.
I don't talk to a lot of people who say, I met at Willie Nelson's birthday party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Willie does this this thing where he puts on a concert, and we played it this year, and the Drive-By Truckers played it. Spooner was playing with the Drive-By Truckers. So we kind of hung out and spoke for a bunch, and when I needed a keyboard player for the record, I just wanted to work with him because I knew that he had been on so many records, and I knew he had a lot of wisdom to add. All those guys have so much wisdom, musically and otherwise. It just made the recording process easy for me.
But they also must be busy.
They are very busy. Yeah, I could never get them for anything else than that one week that we got them for, but all the stars lined up for us that week.
Don't want to keep people in suspense any longer, because we're here to listen to your music, not
sure.
Just talk. Could we ask you to play the song that opens this new CD? It's called Listen.
Listen. Listen to them church bells ringing. Listen. Well, listen, you can hear them hounds calling off in the distance. If you listen, you can hear them engines stalling. You can hear them angels falling. Well, travel, you find them men and women all have trouble. If you travel, you will find it for the poor, victims of the gun or gavel. If you travel, but be careful now. Be careful of them folks out there who surround you. Be careful. Well, Simon, I'm really the only one to ground. They only want control to tear you down to their hole. So be careful. Hey, yeah. Listen, listen to them church bells ringing, listen. Well, listen, you can hear them hounds calling off in the distance.
if you listen. You can hear them engines stalling. You can hear them wings falling if you listen. You can hear them engines stalling. No, the angels are falling.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you.
When did you first discover that you could sing?
I started going to these open mics after I quit my job teaching, and I think it was on the car rides.
I meant before that.
Oh, before that? I didn't think I did before that. I think that was when I did, when it happened.
So, like, you weren't – I'm making a story up now, but by way of illustration. So you weren't the kid in the third grade who discovered that he had a voice that could carry above the room or anything?
No, man. I always wanted to play drums when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But I never really pursued music when I was young. I played basketball, and that was about it. After I quit teaching, I was writing songs for a while, but I never really sang them. I never sang out. I never went to open mics, never did gigs. I played bass in a rock band, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. I would drive out to these open mics.
This is in Philadelphia?
Yeah, like on the suburbs of Philly. It was about an hour outside this one, and I would drive there by myself, and I didn't really know anybody, so I would just go out by myself every week back and forth, and I'd listen to songs in the Key of Life and Donny Hathaway Live. And just by listening to those two records, singing along with them, I just kind of picked up a lot of stuff.
That's kind of late to begin a career in music, isn't it?
It's late, but I think, you know, as most careers, if you find the right thing, it's just about always the right time, you know?
So you didn't sing to your students when you were a teacher?
No, God, man, I could barely even teach them, let alone sing to them. I was just trying to hold the thing together.
How old were they?
Probably between 7 and 9. It was second grade.
Oh, that's a tough grade, isn't it?
It's tough. Yeah, it was tough for me. There was a lot of teachers who knew what they were doing real well. I think if I was still doing it now, I'd be better at it.
Is there anything about teaching that creeps into your music?
Perspective, I think, would be the most obvious thing for me. Just being around these kids who had such hard lives every day and just to struggle to get up and just to realize what the education system means and what a safe place is for a kid to learn and what learning is in our society. And at this school, it was more of a inner city school that didn't have a whole lot of funding. So a lot of perspective I gained through working there.
Could we hear Street Corner Preacher?
Sure, man.
He got a new mercy, a new grace. Street corner preacher with the angry face. He got 2 years off for good behavior. Back in the neighborhood working for the Savior. There's two old ladies and a junkie nodding out. He can see for sure that his work is cut out. Though he walks through the shadows, he won't fear his neighbor. Back in the neighborhood working for the Savior. Well, he understands the need for living laws, but it's hard to get a job with a felony charge. Now he's working in the hospital, washing dishes, walking through the fields of the lost and the vicious. Every step, every breath, a new benediction to save the living from awakened death. His conviction in the eyes of man, he seeks a no favor. Back in the neighborhood, working for the Savior. There's a whole lot of trouble all around. Every night the same old siren sounds. Well, there's a whole lot of trouble all around. Well, children, soldiers in this battleground. Well, a new son, second chance, he unbolts the door and hops over the fence. Young woman with a baby that our daddy gave her. Back in the neighborhood, working for the Savior. But all around, the war rages on. burnout houses with the front door gone. Well, his faith is his fountain and his love is his labor. Back in the neighborhood of working for the Savior. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, hey. Well, he's got a new mercy, a new grace. Street corner preacher with the angry face. He got 2 years off. Good behavior back in the neighborhood working for the Savior.
That's a hell of a song, Mr. Lee. Is that something you've actually seen?
Yeah, got lost last year. I was at a festival in Camden, New Jersey, and I was driving back to Philly, and I got lost. And Camden can be a rough place, a real rough place. It was a Saturday or a Sunday, and I saw this guy on the street. He was just talking to these two old women with a little speaker, and I was thinking, like, wow. The way I kind of put this character out is he's not really looking to be, you know, the evangelist on the television with the whole big thing. He just wants to do small deeds, and for me, those are the people that are a real inspiration.
What kind of time distance passed between when you saw that man on the street in Camden, New Jersey, and when it became a song?
Probably about 20 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote it immediately. I was driving back. Yeah, I was driving, and I got lost, and I just got round and round. Yeah. And I just got my little tape recorder, and I just went through it. And when I got home, I went on my computer and just kind of put a little stomp and a clap, and that's how the song was. I didn't really have any chords to it. It was just that melody and that sort of rhythm. And a lot of times for me writing, especially when it's not with a guitar, it's just rhythm, rhythm of word.
Your record label, Blue Note, is known as a jazz label. Charlie Mingus, Ornette Coleman, Al Green. You feel that's where you belong, in a jazz label?
First of all, I worked in a jazz record shop for like 2.5 years. So my introduction to Blue Note was just all those original pressings. So when I signed with them, I didn't really have much of a grand idea of anything other than when I spoke to them, they were people that liked the same kind of music that I did.
Do you have musical influences for all the famous folks that you play with?
Yeah, my first real influence, other than like a lot of the hip-hop and R&B that I listen to, which comes out in my songs and in my live performances a lot more, Luther Vandross, John Prine, Boogie Down Productions, Bill Withers, Joni Mitchell. It's a pretty wide bunch of people. I mean, I really love to listen to music all the time. And I feel like there's so much more music that's readily available. I mean, I miss the record shop. I miss working there because I got to take home records every single night. We could take home whatever we wanted. So I was really introduced to everything from Ali Akbar Khan to John Coltrane to Steve Goodman. Yeah, man, I was really blessed to get that job.
Are you always writing songs or... is that something you turn off and on, depending on the time of day?
No, I don't turn it off. I mean, if I turn it off, I really lose out on an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a jotter. I don't jot things down all day, but if something comes to me, I find a way to make it happen.
You know, there's a crowd. Look at that.
Hello, everybody.
There are people outside the window of Studio 4A here. Is this a tour group?
Nice to see you all out there.
I have an idea. Could we bring a couple people in? Why not have them all come in, okay? Let's just try this. This is a tour group, I'm told, of people from 35 different countries. They all look pretty young, don't they? Come on in. Nice to meet you. Well, where's everybody from? Tell us about the group.
I'm from Kosovo.
You're from Kosovo?
Yes.
Good to meet you. Where are you from, ma'am?
From Romania.
From Romania? Nice to see you. Okay. Well, this is Amos. Anybody have a question for Mr. Lee?
Can you play a song?
Yeah, you want to hear a song? I'll play a song. Yeah, let me play you some. This is a song I've played in a lot of countries. It's called Keep It Loose, Keep It Tight.
Well, I walked over the bridge into the city where I live, saw my old landlord. Well, we both said hello, there was nowhere else to go, cause it's rent I couldn't afford. Well, relationships change, though I think it's kind of strange how money makes a man grow. Now some people lay claim if you get enough fame, you live over the rainbow. Over the rainbow. But the people on the street, out on buses, out on feet, we all got the same blood flow. Well, in society, every dollar got a D, we all need a place where we can go and feel over the rainbow. But sometimes we forget what we got, who we are, oh, and who we are now. I think we got a chance to make it right. We keep it loose and keep it tight. Well, keep it tight. I'm in love with a girl who's in love with the world, and I can't help but follow. Though I know someday she's bound to fly away and stay over the rainbow. Gotta learn how to let her go over the rainbow. But sometimes we forget who we got, who they are, well, and who they are now. There is so much more in love than black and white. Gotta keep it loose now, child. Gotta keep it tight. Keep it loose, not child, oh, and keep it tight. Well, keep it tight. Lord, keep it tight. Yeah.
Thank you.
Amos Lee's new CD is called Last Days at the Lodge. He joins us here in Studio 4A, where you can never tell who's going to walk in and where they're from. And he's currently touring the United States. You can hear more of his music on our website, npr.org. And in fact, you can see a special video version that he's recorded of a song from the new CD called Truth. Thanks very much, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, sir.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.